So how long did you organize for?
9 years or more.
And you said that in 1948 you stopped working in the plants. That
no. 48? No, that's 58. When I 68.
Oh, okay. A couple more days.
Yeah, 68.
And that was because why did you?
I wasn't well. I had to quit work. Mm. I was on the board and everything. I had to quit. Couldn't go anymore.
Was that in part because the conditions that you've been working in?
Yeah, I got arthritis from it.
Does that happen to a lot of women who work?
Oh yes.
So it's like an occupational disease. Almost.
That's right. That's what the doctor called it. But you take. I didn't tell you about the filleting business on there. The girls work all day long on filleting. You know what filleting is? You got a great big fish in front of you. You got a knife and you got to dip that knife and just go right down that bone. Mm-hmm. And you got a nice big fillet. You've probably seen them. And you do that all day long with dull knives and everything. We had to fight to get sharp knives to do that. But you'll see that everybody that's worked in the cannery, they'll have their arm that's gone. They can't hardly move it. I was for about 2 years. I couldn't even comb my hair from that because my arm was gone. Then you take a leave of absence for that too.
So what's the solution to that? Do people talk about mechanization at all, or any of those jobs? Or?
No, they just used to give you time off with that. Go to the doctors, see what you could do.
Were there any things that you felt in particular should be done for people who had been crippled?
I figured we should have had a sanatorium of some kind in case, you know, the people got crippled so they could have a place to go to, those that didn't have homes or something, you know, to help them out, but I never could get it through.
Mm-hmm. Did the union fight for that at all? Or?
Well, we discussed it mostly among ourselves, like Alec Gordon and Tom Parkins and I. We discussed mm-hmm. it, and they says that we'd have a hard time getting that through. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a thing that really should be done in one of the plants, because the people work hard in really ice water and everything, and you come home, you're really cold. You can't warm up or anything. The cold is right through you. Three pairs of pants, three pairs of stockings, and then you've got two, three sweaters on top of you. You're bound to come out of there with arthritis.
Do people still work in those conditions?
Oh, yes. Not quite as bad. We fought to have heat put in the places. So they have heats in the corner, so they come down on you. Mm-hmm. So it's not as bad as it used to be.
Right. Was that because in part the canneries were out over the waters?
Right. And then you have great big doors that are open when they bring the fish in. You know, they have these great big doors and the tubs and the jeeps are coming in all the time back and forth. And that wave from the water just comes in here, in there and just hits you. In the wintertime, we used to get them to put plastic sheets down mm-hmm. to keep the wind from hitting us.
Right. What other issues were important contract issues? What were the conditions around breaks and lunchrooms, hours of work, piecework, and so on?
Well, we had our 15 minutes mm-hmm. break. We could go and have a cup of coffee and have something to eat, but we had to be back on work. By the time that I got there, about the last year I was there, they got these machines in there where you had to pay for your coffee and your sandwiches if you wanted them. And before that, we didn't have that. Because we didn't get no cookies towards the last, because the company took them away from the girls, because the girls used to cart them home.
How about, you continued to work after your husband had...
After my husband passed away?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I had to pay bills and everything.
Yeah.
I was lucky that I belonged to the credit union. That's another thing I helped to organize, was the credit union.
How'd you start that? Was that through the Fishermen's Union that was begun?
No, through the credit union. We used to have meetings down at my house and that. What's the name of that girl that used to come down? She was from the credit union. In Steaston, I started the one out there. The guy came down and organized the people. I got the people down to the meetings at my place. He organized one in Steaston, the credit union. So we got the Richmond Credit Union there. Now we've got the Fishman's Credit Union in there too, in Steaston.
At the end of the war, were women laid off at all in the fishing industry, and did men who were returned soldiers come back in?
No. Didn't affect there at all.
And were you ever a member of a women's auxiliary?
I started it in Steaston, the ladies' auxiliary.
How did you begin it?
I don't know, it just came to me to start going. Got the people there and everything. And we organized our president and stuff like that.
Did you go out to the fishermen and tell them to tell their wives to come?
After we were organized, we told them to get their wives out.
And did that work? Did
yes,
work?
Yes, it worked very nicely.
What kind of activities were the auxiliary?
We put on socials, dances. And then when the fishermen would go away, they'd have nice great big dinners for them to go away.
And did the women do any work, like when in strike situations, in terms of support?
They were there helping bring the food around to the people in that, the ladies' auxiliary.
Would they build any kind of meetings for public support or anything like that? Were you involved in any strikes?
Oh, how many?
Can you talk a bit about some?
Oh, some of my. There was the first strike that went on out there. You couldn't get the people going. The woman that was the head of that, she stood there and she couldn't do a darn thing with the people. They were all standing around in front of the company. I says, come on. I says, let's get going. I says, you can't stand here. I said, just go watch the places. I says, where you got to go? So they started marching up and down the street with their little plaques and that. So after that, it started going okay.
Right. What year was that, do you remember? 1940s? Or?
No, that was in 1960-something. That was when Adeline took over. I forget which year that would be.
Let me just...
Yeah. Oh, the company didn't want that strike, of all things.
Were there strikes earlier on at all? In the 40s or 50s?
No. Right. No, not till you got fully organized, you know. Right. Then you had to know just when to have those strikes, you know, when the fish were coming in. Or.
Especially in a seasonal industry. That
right. Well, when they had the strike, they always used to have food for the people. They used to have certain ones in the family used to get so many fish. Fishermen used to go out and catch it for them, which was very nice.
Would you work with the fishermen in a strike situation? Like, there'd be times when they'd be on strike, and would you need to honor their picket lines?
Oh, yeah, we were both on strike at the same time, the fishermen and shore workers.
So would you coordinate?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And how would negotiations happen in a situation like that, because there were separate union locals?
Well, your fishermen would have go negotiate with the company themselves, and then we'd go negotiate ourselves.
Right. And would you have like a mutual agreement that you'd hold out?
Yes.
Before you struck in the 1960s, did you have any on-the-job actions that people would do, like slowdowns or anything like that, to protest conditions?
No.
Okay. And when you were organizing, did you feel that you got support from the leadership of the union?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Would you ever go out with people like Tom Parkin or Alex Gordon to organize with?
Oh, yes. We were always together.
So you'd work as a team?
Yes, that's right. And Homer Stevens.
What kind of attitudes did people have towards striking?
Some of them would go for it, and others would say it's the wrong thing for fear they'd be afraid they'd be out of a job or something. But once the strike, they knew they had to follow.
Right. labor in terms of having enough people to do work in the fish
farms? That would be just before my time. I was in there just about the end of that, huh? And I think I've heard in the past that they tried to get the union in there then.
Right.
And they just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. They went to management to ask for a higher rate and pay. And I think they got it. And then they didn't bother anymore about the union. So that's when they got after me to get the union in there.
So why did people then go for the union after the war?
On account of the wages. They couldn't make ends meet.
Right.
With the little wages they were getting, they couldn't make ends meet.
Okay. And did the union have regular local meetings?
Yes, once a month we had meetings, right. Every month.
And what was the steward structure like? What would the stewards do? Would there be one in every plant or several in every plant?
There'd be some in every plant. Then you had a shop steward on every job. And as soon as there was a meeting going on, they'd scatter the word around as well that they'd better be at that meeting.
Did they collect dues? Or?
Yes.
So there was no check-off?
Towards the last, they didn't. Towards the last, it was a check-off. We fought for that one because it was too hard for people to pay their dues, like they didn't have the money on them or something. They'd be paid by check.
Mm-hmm.
So half of them wouldn't pay their dues because they didn't have a chance to see the shop steward or something like that. They always had an excuse, I know.
And how were the union officials chosen? Were they elected? Or?
They were elected, every one of them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how would you put together a contract? Choice. Would it be shop floor meetings? Or?
No, that would be with the executive board, Alec Gordon, Homer Stevens, and Parkins.
Right.
They'd get things fixed up there. Before they did that, they'd call a meeting of all the membership to find out what they wanted in that.
Right.
What they should negotiate for.
Right. And did people try and establish a uniform contract in the canneries across the province? That one of the goals was to create uniform conditions and wages?
Oh, yeah. To have it all the same wages, yes.
So what would that mean in terms of negotiations with employers? Because weren't there different employers, or was there a council, or was BC Packers the major?
Oh, no. No, they were all the same. Now, when you go ahead and want to negotiate on wages, you have one from every plant. They call a meeting from people from every plant to meet at this one meeting to bring up certain problems and what they want, what their wages are. From way up from Namu, Prince Rupert, and everything, they used to come to Vancouver.
Right. And then the union leadership would take that into negotiations with each different employer.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
They had one. They were represented there.
Okay. Were there any political organizations that played an important role within the Fishermen's Union?
Not that I know of.
And were there women who were active in the union? Many women who were active in the union?
Yes, there was quite a few of them. Quite a few.
Right.
From all different plants.
And were the women who were active younger women or older women?
In between.
Right.
Yeah, there were some young ones and some older ones.
How about marital status? Were they married or single?
Married. Most all of them were married.
Were their husbands in the industry?
Yes, in the fishing industry. I don't think we had any more than one or two that weren't married. That's all, one or two. The rest of them were all married.
So would it be hard for women who are married to be active in the union in terms of other work that they would need to do?
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't see why.
Okay.
Because the way I worked, heavens.
Yeah.
If I could do it, I don't see why somebody else couldn't do it.
Did most of these women have support from their husbands then in terms of the work, the union work they did?
I couldn't say.
Right. Okay. You had mentioned before that it was hard sometimes to get the women active.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They had to go home and do their gardens.
So, household chores were a problem that women faced in terms
That's
of activity.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And were there any things that the union did in particular to sort of try and draw in women into being more active within the union?
No, it was up to them. They never forced anybody to do.
Right. And were there women in the leadership of the different union locals, of the cannery workers?
Of the different...
Would women be in the leadership of the different
cannery like the food workers and that?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No, it was just the fishermen that were in there and the shore workers.
And that's where you saw women?
Mm-hmm.
So... and did the union have any kind of special newsletter or column about women's activities? For example, would it feature activities that the auxiliary was organizing?
They put in their letters, yes. That would come to the, we'd hang them up in the cannery.
Right, okay. And were there any specific issues which came up which were a particular concern, such as maternity leave?
Well, we fought for that. That I don't know just how exactly that went. I forget. But I know that they gave these women that were pregnant a certain leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
A certain leave of absence, whether it was a year or two while they were pregnant. And then they had to have so long to be with their child while it was till it got so it'd be itself.
Right.
You know, so he could get along.
And the union fought for that?
The union fought for that, yeah.
And that was that established?
Oh, yes, okay. That was established.
How about equal pay? What kind of work was done around establishing equal pay for women?
Well, the union fought for that, too, because the men used to do women's work and get paid their regular wages, and the woman would be out of a job while the men was doing their work. It was the same way like we were filleting halibut. And the women had the great big halibuts while the men were doing the little small halibut for the same pay that they were getting. And we were getting our regular pay, lower pay than they were. So we went at that. Now they watched that. And then they used to put the women on the iron chinks for the same pay that they were getting in the cannery. They weren't getting the same wages as the iron chink, so finally they fought that. And so if a woman goes on an iron chink today, she gets the regular pay as an iron chink.
Right. Was there any problems also with supervisors at all? Did they used to get out of hand at all?
The supervisor used to get after the women, yes. And, you know, come raise Cain with them over nothing at all.
And
you used to come over there and push you and push you and push you. You're not doing good enough.
What about the issues of union hiring halls? Did you ever try and push for that?
We did, but never got through with it.
Why did people...
It would have been kind of hard in our industry. It would have been very hard to do that. Unless if they went just according to the seniority list, and then that was mighty hard to do, too.
What kind of fight went on to establish seniority within the industry? The union pushed for seniority lists.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that?
We just got the shops to it. We'd meet with management and everything. And I think they got kind of hostile, too, in a way, because the shop stewards were down there all the time about people not being brought into work the way they should. So the first seniority list came in through the fresh fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally it worked into the cannery. And it was quite a fuss about that.
Okay, and so the principle that was established was that people would be hired back on the...
seniority list.
Right.
Yeah, and once for a while there, they had a cannery list and a seniority list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't work. Because they used to take the people from the cannery and they didn't go by seniority and put them into the fresh fish seniority. And there was a big holler about that. So finally they just took and put the whole thing right down. And then wherever the girls went to work, wherever their job was, it was written down that this girl did this kind of job, that girl did that kind of job. So when it came to seniority, they'd go and pick out the girl. If this top one was out, they'd go and pick out the next one if she did the same job as that other girl and put her on that job.
And was there any discussion ever of women wanting to go onto the fishing boats as
workers? No.
What kind of other things did the union do in terms of social activity?
Well, they used to have dances, but they had to quit it on account of the roughness going on. Couldn't take it up any longer. And as I say, they put on those dinners on for the boys before they went out to fish. It was kind of hard to have any activities of any kind out there for the people, the way they were working, you know.
And
sometimes you'd go and work, you'd be working at 12 o'clock at night. Sometimes they'd be having two shifts on.
So your shift could be changed around any time? Mm-hmm.
Well, it could. You'd have to watch that too, very closely.
Would that make it really difficult for women with kids?
Oh, yes. And I think another thing that made it kind of hard for the company too, because they had to pay us double time. Time and a half after a certain hour. Mm-hmm. So they watched that. That's why they put extra line on at night, so they wouldn't have to pay the extra pay. I think it was 10 cents higher for at night.
Right. And did the union provide babysitting at all for any activities?
No.
And can you name any women who were particularly active in the union when you were?
I could. I got a list of them someplace. I could name Frieda Erickson and Mrs. Trudell and Polly Paulson, Mrs. Udy, Ellen Zesko, and what is her name, Martin, Jessie Martin.
And were these women all like plant chair women or shop stewards? And
they were shop stewards as well.
Okay. And, were the central contract demands around wage issues and conditions of work?
That's right, that's what it was.
Yeah. And did the union organize any discussions on the question of equal pay when that came up?
Oh, yes. It came up in the convention. Right. And that's where it started, in the convention.
What kind of?
Because the people were asking for it, you see.
Right.
And those are the people that were at the convention.
So there was like a discussion of it?
That's right.
What kind of arguments did people make? Do you remember at all?
No, I don't. Helen was one of them.
And what was the attitude of men in the union to women who were active? Did they support that activity?
Oh, yes. They were very active themselves, the men were.
Mm-hmm. And how about the issue of equal pay and maternity leave? Did the men support those demands?
They supported that, too.
And those were integrated into contract?
Mm-hmm.
And struggled for. Okay. That's all I've got in terms of questions.
That's good. Henry, I quit working in the fishing industry. Those days, they used to find jobs for you. If you did that work and you was doing a good job, they used to send you out to another job.
Mm-hmm.
That was working in the stocking factory. And those days, they didn't have a union either. You know how you used to negotiate? You'd lock the manager inside of the plant and get him in a corner and negotiate with him to get higher wages.
So when was that? That was in the 30s or?
20s? Oh, heavens, no. That was way long before that. That was in the 1913, 1914.
Right.
Yeah. And then I worked there. They sent me to Bennington, Vermont. I worked there for a while, and they paid my way out there, and they paid my room and board until I was able to make enough to pay for my room and board. So I stayed there for about 2-3 years, and then I went into the men's garment, making garments for the men.
Right.
And they didn't have no union there either, and we wanted bigger wages. And we locked the guy up. And he wouldn't do it. So the next day, we went back in, and we locked him in there and still get after him for higher wages. And he says, well, he says, I'll talk it over. He says, I'll be back tomorrow. He says, we'll see what we can do. The next day, he didn't come back. So then We waited for him. We didn't work all that day. We wanted to know why. So we had him locked up in the corner too. So finally they came over and they gave us a 10-cent increase in our wages.
How old were you then, like 16?
I was about 16 then. And then, anyway, I quit the candies then. I had to go and work for my uncle. She was blind, and he was a TB from the mines, like, you know, stone cutting. I worked with them for a long time. And then I was back to Chicago again, worked in the garment factory there, and then that's how I got married.
So you met your husband while you were working?
Yeah, I was married at 25 years old.
Right, and you had, in the meantime, been traveling around and working?
Did housework. I did everything I could think of.
Yeah.
Think of it today, and I said, oh God, could I ever do it again? You know, the way I was going around. And there was 16 in our family.
16 children?
16 children. That's why I had to quit school, you see, because Dad couldn't afford to keep the 16 children and feed them and everything.
So you had to go out and work?
Yeah.
And during the Depression, what did you do? Did you go on relief in the States or in Chicago? Or?
No. When did we start? Yes, we were. Yes. The Depression started when we were in Chicago. And then his folks wrote to him and told him to come out here, that they would set him up in business. But then when we got out here, they didn't set him up in business, so we had to struggle for ourselves then, after we came to Canada.
And that was during the war?
That was during the Depression.
Right.
So he went off, was it? His sister was in, he had a sister that was, had a store, and she was selling ladies' goods and all that, so she gave him a bunch of dresses and told him to go out and sell them and make a little bit of money. He went out and he just about went broke on that. So then he says, to heck with it. So we stood around, waited to see what we could do with what little money we had. We spent our last cent before we went down and asked for a relief. So
it must have been fairly humiliating for people to ask for relief who had been working.
It was terrible. There was a place there where you could go. They'd give you clothes for your kids and everything. I wouldn't ask for it. I'd go up to the nursing mission, get some old clothes, and I'd wash it and fix it all up for my kids, made them stockings and clothes and everything.
So they wouldn't have to wear clothes then?
Yeah.
Could everyone tell that you were on relief by the clothes that they gave you? Or?
No, but I used to do all that sewing. I did good sewing, if I have to say so. You can tell the difference. The only thing is there were expensive clothes. It was all expensive stuff.
Right. And would relief give you money for food? Or?
They did after.
Mm-hmm.
I think my brother-in-law was a lawyer. We brought him at the house and we told him about it. And he says, you'll get down there tomorrow. He says, you'll get something. So we went down and we got it through him, my brother-in-law.
Were many people around you in your community on relief too?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That was in Lethbridge.
Oh, yeah.
Alberta. They were all on relief then.
The Prairies was hit very hard by that.
Oh, yes. And you had to know the guy that was going around giving you relief and all that. They had people that were going to investigate in your house to see what you had and what you didn't have. And my husband was one of those, because there was a big organization as well out there. And he went into one of the houses where the guy said that this guy had so much clothes he didn't need any. So my husband knew him and he went in there. The guy didn't have a goddamn thing.
So your husband worked for an unemployed organization? Or?
Yeah.
So there was organizing of the unemployed in Alberta as well as in British Columbia?
Right. Yeah.
What kind of struggles took place out there around?
Well, I was so busy with the kids sewing, I didn't have a minute to myself there, you know. When you sew for a bunch of kids like that and keep them going. But they were after me to join the organization, but I couldn't join.
Were women organized at all during the Depression? Were the women's labor leagues out there? Or?
Oh, yes.
What did they do?
I couldn't say what they did, but I know they were organized. Cause
yeah.
And then that's when my husband belonged to the CCF then.
Right. Yeah.
So I didn't get too much of an education and jump around like this. I don't know how I ever did it.
There's different kinds of educations, maybe.
Well, as I always tell my kids, I didn't get mine out of book. I got mine through experience.
Right.